Brothers and sisters, John's gospel is in some ways different from the other three. And the first 18 verses are usually known as the prologue, which is the word of introduction. And the purpose of this prologue is to make you curious and want to find out what is written in the rest of this gospel. During my time in Bucklands Beach, I preached a series of sermons on this passage and was only able to get up to verse 14. So for me, at any rate, I'm continuing a series, but nevertheless, that verse 14, as you'll see, stands out like a glorious light all by itself. So the prologue, the introduction to the Gospel of John, John 1, the verses 1 to 18, our brother Andy will lead us in reading this passage. So keep your eye on verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of truth and grace. Brothers and sisters, young people, hi everyone. Today, Christmas 2020, millions and millions of people around the world are remembering the birth of the soon-to-be famous baby who was born just over 2,000 years ago. This soon-to-be famous baby was born in a stable attached to an inn in a small village on the outskirts of Jerusalem, a village called Bethlehem. Now, if you'd been able to creep into that particular stable, you would have seen a very young mum, first-time mum. And yes, they were strangers to Bethlehem. They had no money or friends when they got there and could only find a night's accommodation in a place where animals belonging to travellers were kept. But don't worry about the setting. Look at the baby. He's beautiful. You could see that his mother was happy, thankful and proud to have her own little boy. She would soon grow to love him dearly. And no doubt the father was proud as well. After all, he was beaming from ear to ear. A quiet night, not the night of that birth, but it was soon to be become a very special one. For a few hours after the baby was born, some shepherds came knocking on the stable door and asked if they could see this little child. And they told an amazing story. While they had been sitting around the fire in the night, under the night sky, looking after sheep, suddenly the heavens had opened and an angel had appeared to them. That would make them sit up. And the angel then gave them a message telling them about the birth of a child, who he was and where they would find him and how they would identify him. And when the angel had finished, man, did we have a choir performance. Can you hear it? I can hear it in my soul as all these angels sing, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth among men among whom God's favor rests. Well, a beautiful, well-known story. And that child of Bethlehem sure did become known and world famous. Think about it. Whether you're a Christian or not, you'd have to agree with me that in all the world's history, there is no other single individual whose birth is as widely known, remembered, and celebrated as is the birth of Jesus. Jesus has shaped human thinking and the shape of this world almost as no one else has done. In that sense, I suppose, it is utterly fitting that Christmas is the world's biggest and most lavish birthday party on which thousands of billions of dollars are spent each year. But you know what's sad and frustrating even? For all the billions of dollars being spent and the millions of people focusing on it this morning, most people, when they think of the reason for it, see Christmas in what can only be described as in a blinkered, short-sighted way. They see something and they sense something important around this person that was born in Bethlehem. But, well, what is it exactly that they see? Well, they see no more than a beautiful little baby. And that somehow he did great things, but just how does this impact the world? Most of them don't know. You see, people celebrate Christmas. But the heartbreaking thing is that in spite of this, all the presents, cards, dinners, drinks and parties, in spite of the Merry Christmas that everybody is saying this morning, they miss out on seeing the real thing. See, that's where the opening passage of John's Gospel is so utterly, completely, totally important. You see, I think that the opening words of John's Gospel, written by the Holy Spirit, if you like, function as do a pair of glasses. Now, if I take my glasses off, you'd all look blurry. Maybe that's an improvement, but it isn't really. If I put my glasses on, you're all back in focus again, and it allows me to see something that I can't see without glasses. Now, if you will, John's prologue acts like a pair of spiritual glasses that enable you to see the real deal about Christmas. So if you want to say to somebody, here's the Christmas story, you've got to tell them, you've got to need a pair of special Holy Spirit glasses to read it. So what happens? Well, what really happens at Bethlehem? We've been singing about it and alluding to it. The verse again says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. We have seen his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of truth and grace. Now, here's the deal. Now, don't get used to it because it's staggering. But the deal is this, brothers and sisters, this tiny 7 or 8 pound baby, I still think pounds, this tiny little baby is the Word become flesh. You remember the Greek word for word? It's logos, logos, some would say, logos, hologos, the Word. Now, the reason why John has been using this word, word, is because he wants to point out something very special. Go to verse 1 for just one moment. It says this, in the beginning, hello, Genesis 1 verse 1, hear it? When was in the beginning? Before time began, before the universe began, if you like. In the beginning was hologos, the Word. Who was this logos? Well, he was with God, like that, in partnership with God. And this is why we think of the second person of the Trinity here, okay? The eternal Son of God, who was with the Father before time began. He was with God. And then that last little phrase is verse 1, and he is God. So what John is trying to tell us, brothers and sisters, is the most amazing, gobsmacking truth you could ever imagine, that this Creator God humbled and emptied himself and became a human being. Now, I've just been reading a book that's very, very skeptical about all of this, and it says, how can you believe that kind of mythological nonsense? Yeah, how can I believe it? Why should you believe it? Why should you tell other people to believe it? The Word, the eternal second person of the Trinity, the Son who was with God from eternity, took on human form, tabernacled, dwelt amongst us. Well, says John, I have got a good reason. He says there, we have seen his glory. In other words, I'm not just pulling something out of thin air and making it up. We have seen. Can I also add by implication, we have heard, or can I use another word here? We have witnessed his glory. Who's we? Well, John himself is, of course, one of the we. I'm thinking of the 12 disciples. That's the we. They were the face-to-face people who watched Jesus, who listened to Jesus, who saw the miracles. They were the face-to-face people who, John was one of them, who was there when Jesus was being crucified. We saw him being crucified. We also witnessed that 3 days later we stood outside an empty tomb and heard an angel say, he is not here, he is risen, just as he said. We saw. Now by now, remembering that this is the prologue, you should be becoming so pure curious to say, well, what was it that you saw? Well, read on. And it's in that sixth sense, look at the verse that John says, we beheld or saw his, what's that next word? We have seen his, what's the word? Glory. And in order to highlight this word, he repeats it. We have seen his glory, glory, as of the only Son from the Father. Now that word glory is a very, very special one here. Why? Well, John is actually, by using this word glory, alluding, or if you like, pointing back to the Old Testament. Girls and boys, you of course know the Christmas story, but you also know the story of Moses? And what happened? Moses led the people out of which land? What was it again? What country did he lead them out of? It was Egypt. Say it. Egypt. And when he led them out of Egypt, all the people were afraid and they knew God was with them. Can anyone tell me how they knew God was with them, the Israelites? How did they know? Come on, anyone. Sorry? They saw his glory. In what did they see when they said, "We're seeing God's glory"? They saw that pillar of cloud by day, and that was a pillar of fire at night. Now, what did that pillar of cloud or fire do in the evening? It rested where? On the tabernacle. And therefore, the Israelites knew for sure, God is among us. His glory is revealing that he is with us. Now remember again, when the new temple was dedicated in the days of Solomon, you have that same manifestation of the glory of God. I'm calling it the glory of God because in Exodus chapter 40, verse 35, we read that the cloud covered the tent of meeting and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Now, can you imagine? In those days too, the Jews were longing for the glory of God to be revealed again. And what John says, when Jesus was born, we beheld the glory of God. In other words, if you want to understand who Jesus really is, he is nothing less than the glory of God. We have seen the fullness of God's truth. We have seen the fullness of God's grace in the person and work of Jesus. Now, this is the essence of the Christmas message. Think about it. We say, John 3:16, we all know it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him. Now, how do we know that God loved the world? Well, he revealed his Son, namely his glory. Now, one of the things, of course, that the world misses out on today is this. Where in the world is God today? And let's face it, brothers and sisters, more and more people in New Zealand are turning their backs to the gospel at this point in history. Why? Because the last thing that they want to see or to acknowledge is the glory of God in the person of Jesus. And that's where you and I start, must become, if you like, the signposts. We have beheld his glory. Glory as of the one and only. Glory as of the only Son of God, full of truth and grace. Now, why is it so important for me to say to you this morning that Christmas is all about seeing the glory of God in the person of Jesus? Well, it's this. Think about it. Many people today wonder where God's love is. So easy for Christians, they tell me, to say, God loves this world. Show me his love. And I will say, go to that moment in history when God gave his Son. Where is the love of God in the world today? Focus on Jesus. That's where you find the love of God. the love of God, brothers and sisters, which took your life and mine so seriously that he said to his son, go and live on earth. Reveal my glory in your teaching and in the miracles. But above all, reveal my love in your willingness to be obedient to death, even death on a cross. I had someone ask me the other day, how can you tell me that God loves us? Look at the mess this planet is in. True. And I will say, there's a place called Calvary where the love of God bursts into human history and gives hope to the hopeless, help to the helpless. The other word that I often hear is, how do you know God really cares about this world? Well, when you care for somebody, you're willing to sacrifice for them, right? What did God do? He sacrificed his own son. What did Jesus do? He cried, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. And he cried eventually, to help you, I have done it. It has been accomplished. How? You see, people say, what's Christmas all about? It points to the ultimate manifestation of the love of God and of the care of God. And one third word that I want to use here is the word understanding. You know, one of the great cries of the modern world is, nobody cares and nobody understands me. Well, let me tell you this. This word who became flesh understands you and me. The book of Hebrews highlights this in several different ways. But most certainly it says this. Jesus cried as we cry. He suffered as we suffer. And ultimately he died as we died. So when you pray to Jesus, and when you look upon him as your only comfort in life and in death, and when you look upon him as the hope of this world, brothers and sisters, do so in the knowledge he understands. He knows you. He knows every thought. He knows every concern. He knows every hurt. And he knows every frustration that you exist. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. You want to know why I'm celebrating Christmas? Because here, in the life, in the birth, and in the death and resurrection of Jesus, is the reason for the fact that I know God loves me, God cares for me, and God understands. Hallelujah to the praise of his glory. And let everyone say,